Hello once again, my friends, and welcome to the Journey to Grateful podcast, a podcast to help clarify the process of loss and grief through experiences shared from myself and others living with loss. I'm your host, Tim Begonia, and this is show number 123. In this podcast, I will review the many common myths of grief to help you better prepare for the road ahead. You are invited to join the Journey to Grateful community and share your story to help others better understand grief, how it affects us moving forward, and how best to navigate its difficult path. I also encourage you and invite you to join the community on Facebook and Instagram, subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you prefer for podcasts, and find quick links to do both over at journeytograteful.com. And lastly, I ask that you take a moment when you have a chance to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. Doing so will help this podcast reach more people just like yourself in need of an insightful grief resource, which can help them navigate their grief journey. For today's episode, I'd like to introduce you to a friend of mine who just gets grief. Through her experience and by association with others, specifically a grief group that she leads, she understands many aspects of grief which are necessary to move through this journey that we are currently on. Her name is Letitia Jones. She hails from the South, and our paths have crossed due to a mutual friend, which actually somehow seems to be a little bit more common in my life lately over the course of a few years, which is quite wonderful. And I'm not sure why it happens that way, the new people that I bring into my life, but I am definitely happy with those results. Now, I mentioned in last week's episode how important the people in your circle are, your support circle specifically. And ironically, our discussion today expands on that idea. However, it does so in a slightly different way through the importance of grief groups or bereavement groups. I invite you to join us as we sit and chat while we share our experiences with groups and the importance that they have had on our lives as well as others. I am so fortunate that a long-distance good friend of mine, Letitia Jones, is joining me. She's a teacher, a therapist, an entrepreneur, and we were actually introduced by a friend of ours, Aaron King, and Aaron and Letitia and a couple other people are hosting a wonderful podcast, Teachers Pep Rally, and these people are phenomenal. Each and every one of them have their own special reason that I want them to be in my life. Letitia is no different. Her and I connecting through the Teachers Pep Rally was kind of just a thing that happened, and we became friends. She reached out. She knows about the Journey to Grateful podcast and said, "Hey, I think I would like to have a little discussion." And I am all about including more and more of my friends, especially the ones that have a little something to say about grief. And I think today's show is going to be quite wonderful. You're going to get some insights on bereavement groups, grief groups, and exactly what we do with it, how we feel about them, and truly just bottom line, how important they actually are. So Letitia, I welcome you to the show. Thank you so much for taking the time to be here. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I am happy to be here sharing a conversation and coffee with you.
Amen. Amen. Definitely cannot have too much coffee. That's my personal opinion, but I try not to have too much. But I am kind of a designer coffee guy. What are you?
What's a designer coffee guy?
Well, it has to be coffee that tastes a little bit like coffee, but not too much like coffee. And it's basically the Starbucks or the small barista kind of coffee. I just coined a phrase. I don't.
I've never heard that. I'm at home. I am a Bustelo kind of gal. So
excellent.
It's strong and works out. It works out for me. I love it.
So let's start off by finding out exactly how grief has touched your life.
Yeah, so it's been quite a journey, no pun intended. Obviously, many people that have experienced not only the loss of a loved one, but obviously, you know, the loss of other things, right? A marriage, a divorce can be a loss.
Sure. Yes.
Kids leaving for college and you're an empty nester, a yep. loss, you know, your health, losing health or, you know, getting some kind of illness can be also a loss. So, you know, like most people, I've experienced all of those things. However, in the last several years, and Tim, I kind of think you sparked something in me to kind of explore grief a little more.
Okay, excellent. You know, I'll take that credit.
But what does that mean to be grateful, you know, at your lowest moment? So it's happened yeah. some years where I've been really unpacking this and was asked to lead a grief group and thought, what the heck do I know about that? How can I help these people?
Yes.
And they've actually helped me more, I believe.
Isn't that always the case? You know, this show came about because I feel that grief is completely misunderstood. But I was also hopeful that it could potentially help me. And it definitely has. And I think mm-hmm. most people probably think, oh my gosh, the podcast is this or that for my life, blah, blah, blah. It's wonderful that you're doing this for so many people. You know, I'm doing it for me as well. And I'm not going to be shy about that. It has definitely helped me. So it's wonderful that you said that your bereavement group, your grief group, has surprisingly helped you.
In so many ways. I mean, to the point where, and I know this may sound even morbid, but has even sparked an interest how we handle as humans, how do we handle suffering
yeah.
and loss?
Mm-hmm.
And so as strange, if you will, as it may sound, there's something kind of special in suffering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I haven't put my finger, but I know that there's something there personally and just in watching human behavior.
So what specifically, or, you know, that might be a very long list, and I'm fine with a very long list, but what have you learned? And I assume that you're leading this grief group. What have you specifically learned from the grief group? Maybe some surprises, maybe some things that you anticipated and others that you didn't.
Yeah. So we'll put lead in quotations because yeah, I believe yeah. they're really leading it, right? I'm kind of there. But I think the most surprising has been the strength and power of the human spirit.
Amen.
I mean, it has just been phenomenal to watch people, force, you know, it's, as we said earlier, a weird club that we don't want to be a part of, but here
Absolutely.
We are.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, as a parent, I cannot imagine losing a kid. You
yes.
know, a spouse of 30 years, you know,
yes.
whatever the loss, you know, of health. Now you're immobile almost.
Yes.
And to see human beings rally around, like, where do they muster the strength to get up out of their seat and hug someone who's crying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, or a mom who's lost their child, encourage another mom that has lost their child.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
It has absolutely blown me away.
Yeah, oftentimes with my bereavement group, I started that about 3 or 4 months after the loss of my wife in 2020. And I was fortunate that my bereavement group, I was invited by our priest. He had no longer been at our parish, but he, a couple of years earlier, with a couple of other parishioners, had started this bereavement group. So I knew him, and then I knew a couple of the people that were in the group. So I was able to walk into a group knowing at least a handful of people. Mm-hmm. The irony of something like that is for anybody who's out there looking to maybe join a group like this, but I don't know where to go. And boy, wouldn't it be nice if I had somebody there. I totally get that because you're struggling. You are alone. You are probably as low as you can go. You are scraping mm-hmm. to climb out of this or at least to grasp onto it a little bit. But I can certainly tell you, that group, if you walk into it not knowing anybody and feeling like you're completely alone, by the time you leave that first day, you are going to understand what family truly is.
Yes, Timmy. I agree with that 100%. The other little caveat that I'll add to that is, you know, I was asked by my church to start this group, right? So the assumption is that people know.
Yeah.
So while they were church members, they did not really know a lot of times this person had experienced such a loss.
Yes.
Right? So I don't want people to make the assumption that just don't know anyone. Sometimes mm-hmm. you know mm-hmm. a person's face or name and you still don't know. Right? Yeah. So it's kind of scary on either end of that. But yeah, I agree. You walk out, it is family. I mean, literally, you know, they led this, okay, let's start a little texting group. The first group that we ran.
Wonderful.
Just got a text this morning of someone sharing some, you know, a praise report, her growth.
Excellent.
You know, so it's become such a wonderful community after that just one initial meeting. So I'm with you.
That's
go,
wonderful.
Go, go. Find a group.
That is fantastic. How did you find the very first, I assume you guys are doing in-person meetings?
Yes. Yes.
How was that very first in-person meeting? How was it difficult for you? Were you a little apprehensive? And then how did it end up, you know, what did it turn into? Mm-hmm. And were you surprised?
So I think always surprised. I think, you know, I really know what to expect. You know, I'm a teacher by trade. So, you know, I had my curriculum fit my plan and all of this, you know, talking questions and everything of trying to feel prepared as possible.
Yes, because right? You want to truly lead and direct mm-hmm. and hopefully have some sort of an outcome for people to feel like they came for whatever they thought they came for and they would actually leave with something, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. That's always the
goal, right? At least one of them. I think what surprised me is that, you know, your introduction and you know, we honor the person or situation they lost by name, person, yep. all of that. And to be honest, Tim, it's almost like people just need permission.
Yes.
To speak.
Yes.
And I gave them permission to speak.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
And they ran with it.
I want to jump up and down right now. Obviously, we can see each other and nobody else can. And I'm smiling and I am like so excited right now because this is a huge piece of the grieving puzzle. You will not understand this if you have not experienced anything that has put grief into your life. But you feel as though you cannot grieve at times. And you feel as though maybe it's you crave for the permission to grieve, to express, to freely express. That's even more important than just express. Yes. Because so many times when we are grieving, a family member, a friend, somebody kind of close by will ask how are you doing? And for me, it depends upon that person and how I know that person as to what answer I'm going to give. Am I going to give a I'm fine answer, or am I going to get a little bit more in depth and mm-hmm. give some detail and truly answer the question? So this permission aspect that you just brought up mm-hmm. is huge, because being in a group like this completely gives you permission.
Absolutely. And, you know, as you were sharing, I think another big piece for me is not only permission, but the misconceptions about grief are really real, alive, and functioning, right? I mean,
yes.
Obviously, the teacher and a therapist, it's important to give people tools, right? The stages
yes.
of grief and resources, you know, all that good stuff that I certainly do not discount or disvalue. But at the end of the day, letting people know that their grief is their own, there's no time
yes.
limit. It can look different. You know, I'm working in a predominantly African-American community, so that has a dynamic
yep.
of don't share emotion, you know, whatever those
sure,
cultural
of course.
Things are. And when you give people a safe space again, to really talk about the beauty of tradition, but also how traditionally grief has been handled and how it has hurt them.
Yeah.
That just opens up a whole nother, I think, door for healing and almost some reconciliation.
How does your group react to the clarification of the misconceptions of grief? Because I have my answer, but I'm going to let you go first on that. When you present something and reveal some misconceptions, what are their reactions?
The reactions have really... Oh, you too? Me too?
Bingo. That was going to be my answer right there.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
You too, me too. And it's just so amazing how... similar our experiences are, right? We're not alone.
Yes.
But absolutely. Yet we feel alone. That's why I love that you said join a group, make the move, because you are not alone. There was so much. And then, you know, it's like someone else will add, you know, and in my family too. And oh, absolutely. And, you know, don't question God. Don't be angry with God. But everyone in the room angry and upset with God at some point in their journey, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely, and that is okay. That's okay.
Absolutely.
Not a problem at all. You know, that is definitely a reoccurring theme from anybody that I talk to, whether they are in my group or they have a different group, that they come away with this realization that I'm not alone, because they entered into a group thinking, it's only me. This has only happened to me. I'm only experiencing this. Nobody else is experiencing this. And when you walk into that room, you sit down, you have a couple of minutes of discussion. Suddenly, you're looking around going, oh my gosh, that happened to me. And this happened to me. And that happened to me. I'm not the only one.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Fantastic.
And one of the other pieces too that I've tried to hone in is, I believe Brene Brown refers to it as comparison suffering.
Mm-hmm.
No, that we should not enter that mindset. Like your grief is way bigger than mine, right? Like I didn't lose a child. You know, I just lost my dog, for example.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
I try to hone the message that grief and suffering is grief and suffering. There is no mine is bigger than yours. Mm-hmm. Mine is more significant. And I find it important to share that with people. Because I never want a person to minimize his or her own experience with grief.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you are, first of all, as a leader, you're trying to welcome them into the group and make sure that they understand if they're comfortable and when they're comfortable, their voice can be heard. But you have to also show them that they are among friends, for the lack of a better phrase, that have had similar experiences in spite of the grief, the loss being different. Because in our group, we have many spouses that have lost their spouse after it could be 4 years, it could be 44 years. We've had people who have lost their children, a bereavement person who lost their son, and that was only about a year and a half after he lost his wife. I mean, so many different experiences, however different they are, the similarities with what they're feeling and the path that they're walking is absolutely surprising to everybody in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a relief.
Yes, I totally believe that. I'm with you 100%. So just something so powerful when I hate to mention a concert, but you know, like if you've ever gone to a live concert and the artist comes out, I mean, there's an energy in the room because we're all focused on that artist. It's kind of like
there's
that
definitely an energy.
Right.
In the
there's
room.
An energy that I really was not expecting. And that's probably another surprise. I was not expecting, tears I expected. I wasn't expecting tears of joy.
Yes.
Tears of happiness. I wasn't expecting laughter.
Yes.
And
yes,
humor
absolutely.
From people. I just was expecting. And, you know, that's my own my own experience culturally with grief, right? Growing up Catholic, very quiet and somber and all of that good stuff. And then to be in this environment where people are laughing, folks walking by the room, what happened there?
Yeah, exactly.
Why are you laughing? What's so funny?
What is that group? It's a bereavement group? Wait, hold it. What?
Yes. Which I love because, you know, of course I want to help as many people as possible, which is, you know, really why I was wanting to join you today, you know, to partner with you to help as many people as possible. And, you know, in trying to market, and I use quotes, the grief group, the grief ministry, loss, I'm like, how do you market this?
Nobody wants
raises
to join.
Their hand. I beat that group.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. But the people have ran with it. I mean, we're designing t-shirts and hats off to Greece. These are not my ideas. These are their ideas.
Wow.
You know, putting together a video. How has this group impacted you?
That's wonderful.
At the end of last year, you know, we did kind of like a year in review for the church where all the ministries, you know, some pictures and just for us to see all the great things we've done.
Yeah.
And there were my folks. We were doing our presentation in honor of our loved ones and they're smiling and laughing. And I know people were scratching their heads like, it's the grief.
Yeah.
So, you know, I given myself permission to not worry about marketing, because I just think that their spirit and the love that we're putting into it will draw people.
Now, a couple of things that I want to make sure that we make perfectly clear. We are talking about bereavement groups, people that get together. They share grief because in my particular bereavement group, it is sharing grief based on loss of a loved one. As we mentioned before, grief can be the loss of a job, it can be the loss of a marriage, et cetera, et cetera. In my experience, for our grief group here, it's the loss of a loved one. And in my experience, it's extremely similar to yours, where we have time of tears, we have people grabbing Kleenex, we have honest reflection, we have sharing of good stories and bad stories. We have laughter. We have active conversations. It runs the gamut. And in no way are we trying to say that, you know, the bereavement process and all of this grief is got some reason for laughter. It's usually the stories. It's usually the camaraderie. It's usually just a very surprising, wonderful family atmosphere that brings about all of the emotions, and that does include the laughter. It does include lighter subject matters, and it does include the harder subject matters. So it might sound surprising for anybody who is supporting someone through grief, but maybe has not had deep personal loss really touch their life, they might be looking at this going, what, you're laughing at your bereavement group? Or to take it to a different level, you walk out of a bereavement group an hour and a half later and you feel good. How is that possible? Yes, we absolutely feel good. We feel relieved that we were able to share and we had the permission to do so. We feel happy that somebody heard us who understands, and that is absolutely priceless. Now, you also talked about giving people tools to try to take with them after group through their journey with grief. What type of tools are you talking about? What types of things has, you know, I would assume that you're not the only one that provides some tools, because as you are alluding in your discussion about your group, mine is exactly the same way. We have two people, myself and another gentleman, who quote unquote lead the group. Mm-hmm. We might enter the room with an idea of a specific subject we'd like to bring up and see where it goes, like perhaps how to take steps forward in grief. And then it's off. And then the entire time we are in this group, it is really the entire group that is dictating where this conversation is going. So go ahead and talk to me about how and what tools you and or the group itself provides in your experience.
Well, I would, you know, just to piggyback off of what you just recapped, is that one tool is to help people understand that grief and joy can occupy the same space.
That's a wonderful, people need to remember that. Say that one more time.
Grief and joy can occupy the same space.
Yep.
Because the tension is that we want grief to be black and white, and it's not. It's a lot of gray. It's not a straight line.
No, no.
Okay, after 30 days, you should be back on track. No, grief is very gray. Life, in fact, is very gray. Yes. And so when you really teach people to embrace this idea that I can have joy, that it's okay for me to leave the group feeling better, then we start to really quiet the voice of guilt.
That's good.
We quiet voice of guilt, right? Because I always try to let my folks know that, you know, how in regards to losing a loved one, how would your loved one react?
What do they want? Yes, what do they want for you?
Do you think that this is what they want?
Absolutely.
Right? And so I try to make the person that they lost very real and present. Because they are, not physically with us, but they're in your heart. So one of the big ones is, again, that grief and joy can occupy the same space. I'm very big on self-care because, you know, as you may know, Tim, that we tend to, guilt says, why should you go to your doctor's appointment? Or I don't have the energy to go, or, you know, eating and all, you know, what those things. So I'm very big on leaving them with a tool that's going to help with their just taking care of themselves physically, emotionally.
Yes.
So always those types of tools. But I will say that organically, they have given themselves what I deem as the best tool is continued support, even when we're not in the group. So our model is we do 6 weeks in spring and fall. In between those times, I do a teaching series that is online, and we cover topics so that they get continual support and teaching. And then we're fortunate to have certain therapists at our church so they can get one-on-one counseling if they need.
Excellent.
But the group itself has organically kept in touch with each other. They encourage me, text messages.
Yeah.
They will say, hey, we haven't seen so-and-so in church in a minute.
Yes. Somebody reach out.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Everybody is reaching out, you know, or, you know, just those kinds of things. I think that that's the biggest and best tool I can give, that we're doing this together, that they own some of this too, right? It's not just the leaders.
No.
And that's really what I wanted. I wanted to really provide the space and information, if you will, and send them out,
excellent,
you know, to be fishers of men, right?
Absolutely. So, they have to be the evangelist to your message.
Absolutely. And so, pleasantly surprised, for example, when we were doing the teaching series and someone invited like 3 people.
Nice.
To our to the teaching. So
yeah,
they have become, I think, the most important tool.
Yes, absolutely.
Care,
they themselves.
Passion.
Yes.
They are the tool.
In fact, you're giving them the power to understand and believe that their experience and their words, their voice actually matters. And here they are actually putting that into practice and sharing it with other people. And coming back around to your group sees that they haven't seen somebody in church in a while and they're very concerned. I'm going to share one word that kind of defines what's happening there. It's family. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely family. Now, just as a side note, I mentioned in my last episode, I am a coffee drinker, needing at least one designer cup of coffee in the morning. And lately, I've been searching for my second cup before the morning is even over. Now, I'm not an energy drink kind of person. So when I ran across an all-natural mental performance shot called Magic Mind on social media several months ago, it kind of piqued my interest. But sometime in January, I was approached to try the product and in turn mention its benefits and my experience with it. Now, I hesitated at first because I am a bit protective of my community and I did not want to inappropriately represent something I didn't believe in. Now, as I did research on the Magic Mind product, I discovered it was proven to boost energy and focus, crush procrastination, and elevate mental clarity. And I certainly have experienced how grief can take its toll on many aspects of my life. Focus and motivation and anxiety have certainly been a few. So today, on my 15th day of adding Magic Mind to my morning routine, I'm still surprised to be able to say the difference I feel is noticeable. I feel more focused, and I have found my creative energy level has increased over longer periods of time throughout my day. And from my research, this is due to something called nootropics, which is something that improves memory and attention span. And, you know, it's a lot of science, and it is doing something. So it seems to be exactly what I've been needing lately. And let me speak to the taste. Now, it's a simple 2-ounce shot, and it's green. And that's due to many natural ingredients, one of which is matcha, which is a source of longer-released caffeine, which is supposed to help reduce stress. Well, the taste is actually quite good. A slight citrus flavor and a bit sweet, which is definitely a plus for me. And unlike short-effect energy drinks, Magic Mind has already provided for me prolonged benefits. Clarity of mind, reducing my procrastination, unless that's spring, but I think this is actually the thing that's helping, and it has helped me to reduce my coffee craving later in the day. And honestly, that makes me feel better about myself as well. Now, I've been able to secure a discount for my listeners who might want to give Magic Mind a try, just like I did. So all you have to do is simply use code GRATEFUL20 at magicmind.com/grateful and receive 50% off a 30-pack subscription. Now that discount code will also provide you a 20% savings on just a one-time purchase. Obviously, the best value is the 50% off a subscription, but you can choose what works for you, and at the very least, you could try it. So far, Magic Mind has provided improvements on my focus, my energy levels, mental clarity, anxiety, and it's even helped my creativity over the past 15 days. So go research it yourself. Don't take my word for it. MagicMind.com/grateful. And if you decide to try it, go ahead and use code GRATEFUL20 to save. Now for me, there's no way I'm going to give up my coffee fix. So I'm glad that I can add to my routine something that can help me refocus and reinvigorate aspects of myself in which I believe need some attention. It might sound odd at first blush when you hear that a grief group and a bereavement group can be family, but it becomes very close family. I mean, think about the things that the people in the room are sharing. Mm-hmm. It takes an awful lot to actually share these feelings, these experiences, these thoughts, these fears. And once you are in a room with people who are open to do that, and you mm-hmm. might be the first this might be the first time that you're coming into that room, you quickly understand that there's certainly no pride and no reason to be shy. You don't, for our group, we explain to anybody that's new that we are going to share freely. And if you feel like sharing and talking, feel free to do so, but nobody is going to be forced to.
Mm-hmm.
And that just provides them permission to sit back and just take it all in and not be too pressured to say anything. But inevitably, what happens is more times than those new people will actually interject and become part of mm-hmm. that group, even on the very first day,
mm-hmm.
because of that entire family atmosphere. And it truly becomes family inside the room and outside the room. And I love that you have the teaching series. I love that you have this idea that it's so important to have this continued support. Because way back when you started talking about misconceptions of grief, there's one very important piece of that particular puzzle that I share constantly, and I love that you mentioned it. There is no deadline to grief. Mm-hmm. There is no timeline to grief, and grief is not a linear thing that you can say, okay, after 6 weeks I should be mm-hmm. here, and after 3 months I should be here, and after 2.5 years I should be there. No. That is not how you should approach grief. And the way to find this out is hopefully podcasts like this, hopefully support outside of your four walls, whether that is in the form of a therapist or whether that's in the form of a clergy person. But these groups are that as well. And far beyond what you mm-hmm. could ever anticipate. So you started this and you were kind of wondering where this was going to go and how this was going to actually occur. Even the very first meeting, you yourself had ideas being a teacher. I think that's a mm-hmm. powerful piece of your history to bring forward, because that probably helped you prepare for, at the very least, getting this started in that first moment that everybody was sitting around a circle. But
mm-hmm.
what's the two or three largest surprises that you now have realized that just have somehow become common nature in this group that you would have never thought would have occurred or you would have found in this group before you started it? I know that's a really long way to go for that question, but...
Oh, man. It's so many. My brain is scrambling right now. I think for me, maybe one big bucket is what Dave Kessler, who was renowned in the area of grief, talks about finding meaning, right? Like the sixth stage is finding meaning. And that has surprised me tremendously how, whether they realize it or not,
mm-hmm.
in their own way and in their own time and in their own space, they have been finding meaning, which makes sense that they would have all of these great ideas, like hats off to grief, all of these, they want to retreat. You know, it's percolating something in them.
Mm-hmm.
One of my members actually said, it works at a school and identified about five folks that are dealing with grief. And so Monday I'm going to the school to love on them and show support. And because they, with her support, are starting a little something to support the teachers and staff that are grieving at the school. So finding meaning, the beauty of people getting to a place where they're finding some meaning for the loss of a spouse. This does not mean that we forget.
Definitely
right,
not.
Our loved one or mm-hmm. or the loss.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems to me that, and not only in my group, but in private practice or helping one-on-one, I'm finding that the people that lean into the grief, something magical happens when they at some point get to the place where they're like, I'm not running anymore. I'm going to lean into the grief.
Yeah.
Something really beautiful and magic starts to happen.
It's an important aspect to the grief journey, because if you've ever tried it, you realize pretty quickly when you try to bury your head in the sand things don't go away.
Mm-hmm.
They are still going to be there. All the feelings, all the disappointments, all the fears, all the tears. It just doesn't go away. And for some people, to a certain extent, keeping themselves busy, quote unquote, mm-hmm. might help them with the ability to get through each and every day. But it's, I think it's much more important to be able to lean into the grief. It's not going to be easy. It's mm-hmm. not easy work in any sense of the word easy. There is nothing easy about grief. And even more importantly, it's not that the grief starts fading after time. It's because you've put in the work, because you've leaned into grief, and that you are now allowing yourself to better understand it. You just have a, you're coming at grief in a much different way 6 months or 6 years later than you were when you first were sitting at grief's doorstep going, I don't want to go in. And somebody pushed you because you literally had no choice. I would love to find out what your viewpoint is on the importance of trying to move forward through grief. Now, I will add to this that I am adamant that I never use the term move on, mm-hmm. and that I always clarify that when I'm talking about or referring to any aspect of moving forward, I'm never, ever suggesting that we're leaving our grief behind. We are taking it with us. So to that end result, mm-hmm. how are your feelings about moving forward, and what could you offer people, and what do you offer people mm-hmm. that are trying to figure out how in the world they could possibly start moving forward and truly, quote unquote, living again?
Yes. Great question. And I love that you make the distinction because unfortunately, and this is no indictment on those that support us, right?
Yes.
Grief is a very big part of life. Loss yes. is a big part of life. But we don't talk about the loss. Right. Mm-hmm. So people don't really have language or understanding. So, you know, you could have, for example, someone who, on a particular day or even during their weekly interactions with family, mention a grandparent or something. Yeah. And someone will say, you need to move on from that. Why are you still talking about
it? Ugh.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So,
I'm sorry. Don't like that.
Right, right. But you know that it happens, right, Tim? Like people Absolutely. Hear those messages. And it's not that they're trying to be mean or, you know, have no. ill intention. People don't know how to deal with it. So the deal with it is move on.
Yes.
Leave that yes. there and move on. So that's, you know, I'm glad that you brought that up. What I have found just from people themselves is that something happens when you say moving forward does not mean that you're forgetting about your loved one.
No.
Right? Like, it's almost like living again. There's this guilt because the person is not with them, but they are with you in a very yes. real way.
Yes.
So let's move forward together
yes.
with your loved one, honoring them every step of the way, honoring yes. your grief. Another tool, I know that you asked this earlier, is I believe it's important for me as a leader in that space to also be transparent. So yeah. it is not uncommon, and I've done this before, where I've shared, hey, God, actually on my way to grief this morning, grief group this morning, thought about my dad and started crying. I wasn't expecting it. I saw someone, yep. you know, taking bags out of their car at really early
reminded
hour.
You.
And it reminded yes. me, Dad used to shop early.
Yeah.
And that just started boo-hooing.
Yeah.
Right? Giving yourself permission to grieve, to feel, to connect with Dad, even though that was a stranger on the side of the road, right?
Yep.
Just taking
yep.
groceries out of his car. So I think that's important to reshape or help people to reshape thinking about. You're taking
Absolutely.
your loved one with you as you move forward. It's this, I have to leave my grief. I have to leave my person. I can't talk about them anymore.
No,
you know, all of that. No, it's creating a new normal, if you will.
And in fact, that aspect of some people thinking that they can't talk about their loved one anymore, we are absolutely in our group the opposite. Mm-hmm. I think that it is so important to say their name.
Yes.
And to constantly, continually, and always say their name. Interject them into stories, into your life now, because, you know, I often use the analogy of our life being a book, and there are many chapters in this book. Right now, with loss and grief, you're in not a good chapter, but that does not mean none of the other chapters happened. They are still part of your story, and they have shaped you to where you are today. Each and every aspect of those chapters are part of who you are now. That person is part of all of those chapters and will always be a part of you because that was part of your entire story. So why shouldn't we continue to say their name? Why shouldn't we make certain that we bring them through this story? I think that it's important to certainly not leave them behind. And certainly, as I've mentioned before, you're not asked to leave your grief behind. What I am asking you to do is to consider how to take steps forward and how to live again. And you can do that by bringing your grief with you.
I almost got a little choked up there. You know, it just makes such a difference. And I know we could probably go on forever with this.
Oh, yes.
But it's for example, like I gave remembering my dad. But there might be a funny moment, right? Maybe a moment that a husband and a wife share where you take a moment to and just laugh at that funny moment, you know, as you remember that. I'm so surprised at how many people don't do that. They try to fight it. They struggle. Yes. I don't want to laugh. Laugh.
Yes. Yes. Well, that goes back to the permission. You know, when you're early in your grief, and for somebody it could be months or even years and they still feel this way, but when you're early in your grief, the first time you catch yourself laughing, the first time you're in a car alone and you catch yourself singing to a song, you will feel that guilt. You will feel a little bit ashamed. Because you will feel like you can't do that because your loved one is not here and you are grieving. And this is just the process of life. And it's part of process of the grief. And if you've never gotten permission, today, Letitia and I are giving you permission to laugh once again, to sing alone in a car once again, to find those good moments once again, because you deserve it. And my question would be, wouldn't your loved one want you to?
There.
Absolutely.
Permission. You have permission.
Permission is big. Permission is huge. And even the permission of this idea of moving forward, of taking steps forward. It's tough for some people, depending upon their family dynamic, their community dynamic, whatever the case may be, it's difficult for them to even believe that they can move forward based on external issues, external influences. And then you have to deal with yourself as well.
Yes.
Because I know personally that we ourselves inside our head, we are not nice to ourselves at all.
It's true.
And back to that self-care. Love that you included self-care because that is huge. And self-care is also the mental self-care, the things that you tell yourself you would most likely never say out loud to anybody in the world. You would never treat anybody that way, but you're treating yourself that way.
Yes.
You need to consider that needs to change. Because you need to start being better to yourself. And you even need to find the grace within you to provide yourself permission. Because sometimes, yes, I understand, we are a human community that wants approval all the time. So we are looking for and praying for permission. Let's not forget that we can give ourselves permission too.
Absolutely. Well said, my friend.
This has been a wonderful, wonderful conversation. I don't want to quit. I want to just talk to you for hours and hours. But I also want to make sure that I let you bring up any details, any bits of wisdom, any bits of experiences, anything else that you would like to share. I am not on a deadline, as you know, so we can keep talking, but I want to give you the chance to just tell me what you want to share, what is important to you.
Wow, we have covered a lot of bases. Permission is resonating with me.
Yes.
But I just want to encourage people to find somewhere where they can connect.
And it's understand just, the benefits of that.
Absolutely. It's not what we think.
No. It's true.
The complete
We've
opposite,
experienced
right?
It. Yeah, we are not saying, well, we think that a group would. No, we are telling
exactly.
You from experience.
Absolutely. So I want people to plug into community because there is strength in numbers. It's just strength in numbers.
Absolutely.
That's my big takeaway. Strength in numbers.
I love that. That's really a good takeaway because so much of what grief is about is feeling alone.
Mm-hmm.
And feeling that you're feeling unlike anybody else. And mm-hmm. that's really not true. You just need to find the right people to talk to.
Oops.
You need to hear the right voices to share with you their experiences. And you need to find people that get you, that get it.
Yes.
That get this thing called grief. And I had somebody in my life at some point in time, I would say within the first year, they used the word wallow as it referred to and related to grief. And in their defense, they were concerned and wanted to make sure that I was not wallowing in my grief. And I took that in a negative way until I understood and gave myself time to think about it. I understood that their thought there was truly about protecting me. And their concern was truly for my well-being. Perhaps the word that was used kind of triggered me, but their thought and where their heart was always in the right place. And I want to also make sure that people understand that you are going to, if you haven't already, come across some people that will say the wrong thing or not a very subtle thing about your grief and the process that you're going through. Take a step back when you can and keep in mind that they're probably coming from a couple of different places. First of all, they're not coming from a personal relationship with grief themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And they're probably coming with knowledge of grief based on maybe their childhood. I know when I was growing up, grief lasted about 1 or 2 weeks when family came into town. Mm-hmm. When everybody left, it was all over. That's not grief. So understand that when people reach out or they say something that just doesn't seem to be absolutely right, give them a little bit of grace and understand that they just might not get it. And it goes back to why we're talking about these groups, because those people in that room, they are going to get it. And you will be surprised at how much they get and how much of what you're going through, what you are silently dealing with, they will talk about and they will surprise you that they are going through the exact same thing, and you are absolutely not alone.
That's great wisdom.
Thank you. Thank you, my friend, for joining me. I really, really appreciate you taking the time. And I hope that your group appreciates who you are, because I certainly do, and mm-hmm. your experience, not only with grief, but even the teaching aspect and the therapist aspect, those are priceless pieces of the entire puzzle that you are putting together for your group. And I love that you said way in the beginning that basically you had to start this group and you needed to lead them, but it kind of was they began leading themselves. Mm-hmm. And that is really the true power of this family in grief groups and bereavement groups that is absolutely priceless. And you can listen to us talking about it, but there is one thing in life that you have got to experience, and that is a group. Because once you yes. experience that, your journey with grief is going to shift, and it's going to shift for the better. And hopefully it will shift you into the mindset of hopefully helping other people.
Indeed.
So thank you again, my friend. I appreciate it. Good to see you. You're looking wonderful. You enjoy that cup of coffee.
Yes, I certainly would.
Fantastic. Hope to see you again soon. You take care.
Be well.
Thank you again for listening to the Journey to Grateful podcast. I am thankful for you taking the time to listen to this podcast each and every week and sharing it with others who could benefit as well. Now, I encourage you to stop by the community on social media, share your own story and insights on grief, and join our family in helping others on this path. Head on over to journeytograteful.com/community to find ways to join the conversation and make a difference through your story. And while you're on the site, sign up for my bi-monthly newsletter designed to provide you inspiration and motivation directly in your inbox. And if you would like a more personal connection, I invite you to connect with me via email, tim@journeytograteful.com. But don't stop there. Please feel free to give me a call. I want you to call. I want you to leave me a voicemail or simply give me a text anytime you'd like. Let me know what I can talk about on this show or if there's anything that I can help you with. The number is 262-298-2428. That's 262-298-CHAT. And lastly, help me build this community, broaden my reach, and support my mission by reviewing the show and telling others why you listen. Do so over at Apple Podcasts, because leaving a review there will allow this podcast to reach more and more people. I've also put a leave a review button over at journeytograteful.com. Go ahead. Remember, your comments are a powerful thing that you can do today to support the show and to help this show reach others. And I thank you for taking the time to do so. Now, in a different way, today I would like to share a quote with you, which isn't specifically about grief or support. However, it can easily be connected to it if you allow its message to apply to the journey that you are currently on. It's written by leadership author Max Dupree. We cannot become what we want by remaining what we are. Now, as this relates to grief, I would point to this idea of moving forward with our grief. At some time, we all face this reality, to live once again, taking steps forward to do so, yet allowing our grief a seat at the table while we do. And I believe this quote most accurately represents for us a mindset shift that we need to seriously consider. We cannot become what we want by remaining what we are. To me, this is speaking directly to the fact that I am not the same person I was before the passing of my wife, Colleen. And at some point, I need to realize, in order to successfully take steps forward toward life, I cannot remain who I was. Thank you again, my friends, for joining me. Let me know your thoughts on today's episode or any previous episodes. And for those who are walking on their path with grief, I hope that you find a way to walk confidently on your journey to grateful. Bye-bye.